Man, he came to West Virginia and thrilled our hearts. He really did. I'd just like to thank you for making a contribution as great to the United Pentecostal Church and to any of Brother Wayland's saints that are here. I don't know. I suppose that being this close to the camp that some of the Wayland disciples are here tonight. And that's all right. I think you ought to believe it just like he preaches it if he's your pastor. But I'd like to thank you, church, Brother Wayland's church, for being so understanding and so considerate as to freely give this man to the United Pentecostal Church like you have this spring and this summer. And I'd just like to thank you for the folks in West Virginia, because he thrilled us. He really did. Amen. Brother Wayland, thank you publicly for doing for us what you did. Amen. Well, Brother Dale, we're going to have a time tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I really do. Later on in this service, I'd like for us to sing an old song that Brother Nelson made famous. It's real. And he made it famous. He really did. And we'll not sing it right now. I think we ought to just read the text and preach our message. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to read to you from the book of Acts, the 5th chapter. I want to read verses 38 and verse 39. Last night I preached to you about the church. I have been so moved upon by the Lord lately to preach about his church. I may preach about his church all week long. I don't know, but I feel the Lord wants us to talk about the church, talk about what he intends for the church to be in this world. Praise God. And somebody said that our lesson text this week for our conquerors is to seek out the old paths. I think we ought to have an apostolic church. When my little girl's 17 years old, if the Lord tarries, I want her to go to a church camp just like this church camp. Hallelujah. I want her to grow up in a Pentecostal church that believes it like it believed it when I got in this thing. Hallelujah. And the only way we're going to have it is to live with it morning, noon, and night, because I don't want to see the United Pentecostal Church go the way of the Assembly of God. I just don't want that to happen. Hallelujah. I want to stay what we are. And if we're any way slacker than what we ought to be, then Lord, bring us a little closer to your perfect will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here we are in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, in verse 38 and verse 39. The word of the Lord says, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." Now here's what I want to preach to you tonight. Here's what I want to challenge our minds with this evening. Is this Holy Ghost message and this Holy Ghost experience that you and I talk about in 1979, the last year of the 70s, 6 more months and we're going to be in a new decade. We've come a long way from the day of Pentecost. But I want to examine it tonight. I want to look at it tonight. And I want to find out. And I want to know if what we call the Holy Ghost, and if what we call speaking in other tongues, and if what we call holiness, and if what we call the mind of God for 1979 was what the good Lord intended for his church to have when he started this thing. Now that's what I want to preach about. Is this thing of God, or is this thing of man? Amen. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, have your way tonight. You're talking to us already, Lord. We can feel, be mindful of you. Oh, and guide us. I can't preach without your touch on me, Lord. And I know you're here. I already feel you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise.
praise the Lord. In Jesus Christ we pray, and everybody said amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Is this really of God? Is it really of God? Conquerors, if sometime tonight you'd feel like it, you wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit if you wanted to dance in the Spirit while I'm preaching. That won't affect me. It won't affect me at all. No, sir. Where I come from, they're liable to jump up and run anytime they take a notion. Hallelujah. Now, it won't bother me. I can preach with you shouting. I can preach with you running. Or if you want to sit there and not say a word, I'm going to preach it anyway. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just lift your hands and love God right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Now I think it started out like this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phygrum, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them in our tongue speak the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? From the very beginning, that's the way it started. The first question that was ever asked when the Holy Ghost fell is, what is this? What's it mean? Where's it coming from? What's going on in this thing that's around us? I'd like to know something tonight. I'd like for you to agree with me tonight that we're going to find out what this thing is. And before it's over tonight, I want somebody else to find out and find it out down in their heart. Hallelujah. And so it began, and it was the Jews at first, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and Gamaliel and the Romans. Saul of Tarsus came along. You spoke about Simon the sorcerer a while ago. There was Apollos, there was Agrippa, there was the man by the name of Festus, and eventually Nero. Everybody wanted to know, is it of God? Can we stop it? Can we turn them off? They're running the Roman Empire over. We've got to turn them around. Well, they wanted to know it then. You want to know something? There's some people that want to know it today. The Catholics want to know. The Lutherans want to know. The Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Nazarene, the Baptists, the Jehovah Witness, the Seventh-day Adventists, and our dearly beloved so-called Church of Christ. All of them want to know, is it real? Does it come from God? What are you people doing? Are you psyched out of your mind? Somebody turned you on with drugs somewhere? Yes, sir. It's the Holy Ghost, and it comes down from God, and I can't help it, but it feels good. Hallelujah. I told a man one time, this thing's real. He looked at me, it was a Cadillac salesman. Now I wasn't there to buy a Cadillac. Brother Don Carter will tell you, when you're in Bible school, you can't hardly buy a loaf of bread. Amen. But I was there, and we were getting ready to go to a home missions conference, and we walked in and was talking to this gentleman. And you get young people, they get full of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what, young people, I carried a Bible to school with me every day of my high school experience. Every time they asked me to give a speech in speech class, I'd open my Bible and preach for my 10 minutes. Hallelujah. That didn't go over too good as far as the teacher was concerned. She wanted a dry, cool, calm expression of my soul and my heart. Well, when you talk from your soul and your heart and it's filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't be cool and you can't be calm. So I walked into this guy and we were talking a little bit, and Brother Stan McGee from over in Texas was with me, and he looked at us and we said, this Holy Ghost is real and you need it. He was a little philosophical guy, and when he wasn't dealing in his deep wages of sin, why, he was just sitting there, trying to think his way clean so he could escape the thoughts that eventually one of these days he was going to go to hell. Let me tell you something tonight, friend. You're in this Pentecostal service. The longest day that you live, you'll never be the same. If this is your first time here or if you're an old veteran of coming to Pentecostal churches, once you've been touched by God's presence and God's Spirit, it's going to haunt you and follow you to the farthest ends of the earth. You're never going to be able to get away from it. Hallelujah. So we told the man, this thing's real. In his philosophical way, he said, how do you describe real? What do you mean by real? Well, there was a staple decleter laying on his desk, and I picked it up and snapped it together, and I said, well, mister, if I'd take this decleter and I'd clamp it on the end of your nose, how would you know this decleter is real? His eyes got big and his face got pale because I was leaned over the desk right in his face. He said, because I could feel it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hey. Fella, that's the same way I know this Holy Ghost is real. Praise God. It starts in the top of my head and it runs through the sole of my feet. I know it's real. Hallelujah. I can feel it. Praise God. But it's beyond me. Here we are. They question it. They look at it. They ask us over and over, is it real? Well, I'm going to tell you, we can stand with an affirmative answer. We can stand on the Word of God and we can preach to them, it's real. I can take you to the demonstration of the Spirit and I can tell you it's real. I can take you to the apostolic experience and let any born-again Christian testify and they're going to tell you that this thing is real. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's real tonight. It's real. Hallelujah. But it's amazing to me. Here was the Jews. They'd had the scrolls all of their life. The Sanhedrin were the elders of Israel. They were our brother Deal. They were our brother Whalen. They were our brother Nelson. That's what the Sanhedrin was. It was the elders in Israel that were sitting there, the doctors of the law. They knew it from beginning to end. Gamaliel did such an expertise job of teaching that man Saul of Tarsus that he knew it from the end back to the beginning. He knew all of it so well because they knew it was there. And it's beyond me how they knew it was in the Word. They had read it over and over. It was in there, and they knew that there was really this thing that was going to happen in Israel, and it would be a sign to them that the Messiah had come. They knew it was there, but then they wanted to know, is it real? Is it real? But wait a minute. We've got preachers tonight. They'll climb into their pulpits when Sunday evening comes or Sunday morning. They'll open up their Bibles. They've got their radio programs that span the globe. They talk about it over and over and over. They're shaking people's hands with a thousand, trying to get them saved. And they're questioning, is the Holy Ghost experience real? It's beyond me how you could read this Bible, follow it page after page, and then ask the question, is it real? I'm going to preach to you out of the Bible for a little bit. Listen, I don't have Dr. So-and-so to quote, and I don't have philosopher anybody else, but I've got the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets of old. Hallelujah. Now they got something to tell us tonight. While they're talking to us, here it is. And we wonder, you know, there's a lot of things that bishops and popes in the denominational world have dreamed up that was not in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something else. We got some things in our Pentecostal services that you can't find in the Word of God either. Hello? Praise God. Now we might as well face it. We might as well live up to it. We do some things by pattern. I knew tonight somebody's going to get up here and lead song service. I knew tonight somebody was going to get up here and take prayer requests. I knew tonight that somebody was going to get up here and take an offering when they said he had a special message. They say that all across the United Pentecostal Church when it's offering time. It's a tradition, a ritual with us. You want to know something? We can get those rituals so locked into our local churches that we wouldn't let God have a move in our place if it killed us. No, no, we die before we change some things. Oh, God, let's get away from those. Let's take it back to the Bible, old paths. You know how far back our old paths go? They only go back to the 1900s. But that's not where this church started. This church didn't start in the 1900s in Topeka, Kansas. That's not where my church started. My church started in 33 A.D. in the upper room, and the preacher was the name of Peter. And that's where this church started. Hallelujah. So now let's look at the Word of God. Come on, let's look at the Word of God. I get into the Old Testament and I start reading. I find an old preacher man there by the name of Abraham. Now he starts out looking for something. He can't have it. He can't touch it because the book of Hebrews said it was preserved for us a better thing at a later day. Abraham wanted it though. It said he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker was God. The foundation was Jesus Christ. The walls of the city were the 12 apostles. And we are lively stones that are laid up in the bulwarks in the walls of the church of Jesus Christ. But that's what Abraham was looking for. Everybody in that Sanhedrin court knew what Abraham was looking for. He was looking for it. And then old Peter writes and he said that Moses and all of the prophets and even the angels in heaven long to touch this thing that we've got going on right here in this building right now. Oh, bless God. You've got something that the angels can't have. You're doing something tonight the angels can't do. You're singing songs that the angels can't sing. Praise God. But they'd like to. I said they'd like to. Praise God. And there's David. Now he writes about an experience. He called it Zion over and over. He talked about the song that would come out of Zion. Brother, when that song came, man, what a song. Some of us sing it like this. I've been redeemed by blood divine. Hallelujah, glory, glory, Christ is mine. But now David knew it was coming. Now Joel picked up his pen and started writing, and he said, afterwards, in the last days, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters can have it, and your maids and your servants can have it. They're going to dream, they're going to see visions. But Isaiah picked up his pen, or at least he had his scribe too. And he said that the day will come when it'll be with stammering lips and another tongue. I'll speak to this people. Oh, yes, sir. Brother, they call it jibber jabber. They call it glossolalia. They call it gibberish. Call it what you want to, darling. I can't help it. When that fire catches hold down inside, it comes bubbling up from way down in me. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. And this is the rest wherewith he shall cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Praise God. Man told me not too long ago, he said, now listen, preacher. Said, you don't need that Holy Ghost to go to heaven. You don't need that Holy Ghost to be saved. I said, what do you mean? He said, the Bible says in Acts 3 and 19 that Peter said to repent and be ye converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing has come from the presence of the Lord. I said, fella, you may have a DD after your name. You may pastor that big fancy church over on High Street. But I want you to know, darling, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, what do you mean? I said, read it. Read it again. Read it again. When the times of what? Refreshing or come from the presence of the Lord. I said, do you know what the times of refreshing are? He said, well, that's when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. I said, you better believe it is. And this is what the Bible says you're going to do when it comes. I turned him back to Isaiah 28 and 11, the verse of Scripture that I just quoted to. This is the rest wherewith he shall cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You talk about oneness. Brother, they spake as one. They agreed as one. They span over 800 years of writing in the Word of God. They never sat down and compared notes. All any of them ever had was a place to go pray. Let me tell you something. As long as we got a place to go pray and we had the concept of the Word of God that we've got in our hand tonight, I'm going to tell you, agreeing together in the United Pentecostal Church, we're going to keep this thing a-rolling. We're going to keep this thing a-moving. We're on our way to where Jesus wants us. Hallelujah. But they agreed in it. And they said that this thing was really coming, and it was coming from God. Now that's the Old Testament story. I told you I was going to preach out of the Bible. That's the Old Testament story. Then I get in the New Testament. And I don't get my New Testament open very far until here he comes. Got his loins girded in camel's hair. Here he comes. He's got the fruit of the locust and the fruit of honey in his beard. And he comes wandering out of the wilderness. And you know something's unique about this old boy, John? He's unique. I didn't realize this. I've heard preachers preach, and they say that he took off his priestly robes and steps out on the banks of Jordan and he began to preach. But now that's not what my Bible tells me. No, sir. The book of Luke, the first chapter, the last verse, it says that that boy, John the Baptist, was taken away because of the confusion that was made in Jerusalem when his father was made dumb. Took him into the wilderness and hid him. Hid him. He'd never seen anybody but his mama. That's the only other human that boy knew was his mother. And nobody'd ever seen him. No wonder all of Israel came out to see the carnival attraction when John the Baptist made his appearance out there on the banks of the Jordan River, girded in his camel's hair. Here he was with his bearded face, but he raised his hand and he began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And the thousands came. Well, the king even came in all of his sin and his adultery. He said, "I like you. You sound like you know what you're talking about. So everybody in Israel will accept me, take me down and baptize me." John looked at him and said, "No, sir. You can't get in the kingdom of God filthy. You can't get in the kingdom of God dirty. Before you ever get into what we're talking about, friend, you're going to have to repent of your sin. You're going to say goodbye, world. You're going to have to tell those things that you love that you hate them. You're going to have to tell the things that you hate that you love them. You're going to have to turn it around for Jesus Christ." And that day, the old king said, "I'm going to have your head." But he did not have his head until he had preached one of the most outstanding messages that's recorded in the Word of God. Now, he's out here on the banks of Jordan. And suddenly one day, he's in the middle of one of his lectures telling them what's going to happen. While he's in the middle of his lecture telling them what's going to happen, something quickens him and he turns around and looks up on a sand dune coming down toward the Jordan River. When he looks, he raises up his hand and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, and all of Israel, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And somebody questioned him, "What do you mean, the Lamb of God?" And this is the way that later he answered them. He said, "I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance. But that Lamb who comes after me, he's not only going to baptize you in water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." I want you to know something. The man that tells me you don't need the Holy Ghost is nuts. I heard Brother George Glass say one time, said, they asked me if I thought you had to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. He said, I looked back at him and said, "Even if I thought I could get to heaven without the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't want to try. Because anything that makes you feel this good in this life, you ought to have it. You just shouldn't look for another way without it. Sure, you got to have the Holy Ghost to make heaven. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Howbeit, but if this Spirit dwell in you that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, it's going to quicken our mortal bodies on resurrection day." And he preached Holy Ghost and fire. Well, I don't get too far beyond John, and here comes Jesus. And he's a-preaching something about the Holy Ghost. Then Jesus, my master, begins. And he says, "I'm going to stay with you a while, but I'm going to go to be with the Father. And when I get there, I'm going to speak to him. And he's going to send back the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, in my name. Praise God. What? Jesus said that, didn't he? Jesus said that. He didn't stop there. A lot of folks wonder why that they can't get the Holy Ghost in their church. We got some folks in Morgantown. They like to come over to Riverside, but they just haven't been convinced yet they ought to sit down and worship God with us. But one of the ladies got real under conviction. She walked into my study, and my wife was there, and she said, Pastor Harper, said, I like what you folks have got, but why don't they get it at our church like they get it at this church if God really wants us to have it? I said, I'm going to tell you why you don't get it. Because the Bible says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture says. As the Scripture says. How do you believe on him like the Scripture says? You get out on your knees, or you get out in the hay field, or you sit back there in the pew tonight, and you start talking to God, and you start saying, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. You got to repent. You don't stop there. We got a hole of water around here somewhere. The Bible says you need to believe on him as the Scripture has said. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized. You got to be baptized. Y'all don't believe that? You got to be baptized. Sure you believe that. And is baptized. He that believeth on me as the Scripture has said. She said, well, Pastor, if it's really for me, I want it. Well, I said, you're going to have to quit going to that church if you're going to get it, because you're not going to get it over there. Right. Oh, Brother Harper, do you really believe it? I really believe that. If she gets it, she's going to have to get where there's at least two or three that agree with her. That's right. And if I can get two or three that'll agree with me in the name of Jesus Christ, I can move a mountain. I can move a mountain. Hallelujah. I can move a mountain. You don't think you can't move a mountain? I'm going to take you to the physical sense of it in this old world. We bought some new property to build a church on. Nice chunk of land, 25 acres. Now, 25 acres in Oklahoma would be wonderful. But 25 acres in West Virginia has got a few difficulties to it. A.T. Morgan said if you jerked all the wrinkles out of West Virginia, it'd be bigger than Texas. And that's the truth. That's right. It's all up and all down. And so we got this great big mountain on the back side. The back 13 acres of our property is almost cliffside. I called a man who was an expert at moving dirt, and I said, sir, what would it cost me to get that ground moved? He said, oh, son. And he measured it off, set his transit up, figured it out on paper. Going to cost us $211,000 to get a place leveled out just so we could set the back portion of our new sanctuary on it. I said, fella, there's got to be a better way than that. He said, you're a preacher. And he made a little shot and a little pun. Said, I think the Bible said somewhere if you've got faith like the grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be there removed. Why don't you pray? And I stood right there beside him. I was not going to be intimidated. And I stood right there beside him. I lifted both of my hands and started praying. God, whatever it takes to move this mountain, I want you to move it. In Jesus' name, amen. The next day I met the captain of the National Guards, or the Army Reserve, that detachment that's in our city. They just happened to have two great big international dozers, 16 dump trucks, two or three high lifts, and about three cranes. He said, preacher, we need some place to do practice. We need to train some men. Praise God. Now, what do you think moved into that property? Brother, I've heard everything about the U.S. government, but I've seen your tax dollars work for the United Pentecostal Church. Hallelujah. They backed those trucks in there, pulled those bulldozers off. They've even gone as far as to order a brand new one. A brand new one. A brand new one. And they're shipping it in, and it's supposed to be there the last of this month to finish the project with. Now, I want you to know something. The Word of God says, if you'll ask Him, ask Him, ask Him in His name, He'll do what's got to be done. Hallelujah. And it's not costing us one dime. Praise God. But that's the way the Lord works. I said, that's the way the Lord works. Hallelujah. And Jesus came there, if you believe on me as the Scripture has said. But Jesus went a little farther. He said, I've got to go away. But if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But He said, but if I go away, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Then He said, He told us how that it was going to come. He said, when the Comforter is come, it will testify of me. He said later, speaking of the Holy Ghost, when the Spirit of truth is come, it shall speak. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak their tongue when it gets there. Hallelujah. So Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and they was a-doing their thing. How many of you young people have ever done your thing in church? Huh? We got any girls here or boys that like to dance in the Spirit? Be honest. Raise your hand and wave it if you've ever danced in the Spirit. That's what they was doing on the day of Pentecost. They was doing their thing in the Holy Ghost. They were having a good time, and they were dancing in the Spirit. They were talking in tongues. They were preaching this gospel. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. These men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is what all the Old Testament writers were writing about. This is that. Hallelujah. And Paul said that it was exactly what Hosea was talking about. And then he closed the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians by saying, brother, the Church of Christ don't like it. The Jehovah Witness, they get spooked out when it happens. They can't handle it. Other preachers call it the devil. The Church of God from Anderson, Indiana, don't know what's going on. They get all shook up, and they say that talking in tongues is of the devil. Well, it's strange to me that Paul would close the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians by saying, forbid not to speak in tongues. They want to know if it's God or not. I want you to know, God wants you to talk in tongues. God wants you to speak a heavenly language. God wants you to pray and not understand what you're praying about. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, out of the Word of God, it says this thing's real. That's what the Word of the Lord says. It's real. But I'm not going to stop there. I said that the demonstration of the Spirit said it's real. I speak of my church not in a boastful attitude. God forbid. We want to boast only in Jesus Christ. Will you accept that statement? But I want to talk to you because it makes a good illustration of something that happened. A few years ago, the United Pentecostal Church came up with a project, and it was called Campus Evangelism. Now, Brother Nelson, I think, was still a member of the General Presbytery Body when that took place, but that's when it started. When that happened, Brother Chuck Welch came through our city. This was before Ed Harper ever got there. I don't take a dime's worth of credit for it. I wasn't even thought about as pastor of that church then. But here it was. Brother Chuck Welch came through. We have West Virginia University there. We sent out a crew of our boys down to Norman, Oklahoma last year, and the Oklahoma University just liked to beat them to death, about 52-0. And that's the way it worked. So I come back and I said, send me out there. I'll take them all on by myself. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter was this, that these university students were moved by the Lord when Brother Chuck Welch in Campus Evangelism came to our city and preached on the campus of West Virginia University. They were so impressed by what was happening, by the singing, by the worship, by the sincerity, that Dr. Brown from the School of Music, said these people represent the truest form of old-time religion that we have ever seen. So it has become a requirement. It has become a requirement that every music major that goes through West Virginia University has to come over to that little one God, apostolic, Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled church, and audit three of our Sunday night services. Brother, one's dangerous, but three's super dangerous. Hallelujah. We've had as high as 120 of them at one time in our Sunday night services. And they got to come and come back and come back one more time. That gives them one time to repent, one time to be baptized, and one time to get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And the beauty of it's this. They do repent. And I have baptized them. Yes, sir. And we've sent them all over the nation from that church. They're in Pittsburgh, Chicago, South Carolina. They're in Florida. There's some in Illinois that have received the Holy Ghost at our altars. But the thing about it is this. It was not the preaching. It was not the singing this time that got them, but it was the demonstration of the Spirit. They could not get by that presence of God that comes down and touches an audience. Hallelujah. One young lady was in service one night. She was there and she looked like a shim instead of a she. You couldn't tell what she was. Her name was Debbie Henshaw. She was standing back there between the pews, and there's a lady in our church. And this poor sister, she is not lovely at all in the human nature. No, sir, she is a very ugly woman. I'm just being honest. She knows it. Everybody knows it. She's just ugly. And there's nothing pretty about her. But I want you to know something. She's got something down inside of her that makes her beautiful. Beautiful in the transition of the Holy Ghost. And this girl was standing there, and she done everything in the world there was to do. She was standing there beside her mother. She'd been responsible for getting her mother to come back and see what goes on at that church. She was standing there between the pews. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell one night. Here's Sister Amanda Peters. She took off a dancing. Out through the aisle, beautiful, graceful, lovely, gentle, tender, worshiping God, dancing in the Holy Ghost. That girl turned around. She said, Mama, look at her, Mama. Isn't she beautiful, Mama? Look at her, Mama. What's got a hold of that woman, Mama? Mama, whatever that woman's got, I want, I want, I want. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God this old gospel works. The demonstration of God's Spirit will prove to the whole world that this thing is from God. It started that way. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said, immediately, 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 the ankle bones received strength, and all the temple saw him worshiping God. That's the way this church started, with the demonstration of the Spirit. With the demonstration of the Spirit. I think about a situation that took place, and you'll appreciate this because of the way that it happened. And this gentleman, very fine doctor in our city, and he had a stroke. And I liked him, and he attended another church, and I had understood that he had been a participant in charismatic meetings and had received a charismatic experience, whatever that means. And nevertheless, I knew that he was warming up to what we had, and I thought I'd go fishing. But he had a stroke. And when he had a stroke, it put him in the hospital and he was dying. And he was paralyzed on his right side. And I at first, how many of you have ever been talked to by God to do something and then you chickened out? I just wanted to know if all of us was as human as I am. And I got this tremendous urge to go pray for him. Pray for him. And I walked through my home and I wept and cried. I went to the church and I wept and cried. God, those people will think I'm a slap fool. Why, God, do you want me to go pray? Why, God? No, Lord. And I argued myself out of it. I had a guest evangelist with me at my church at that time. I slipped off one day without him. Got up before he got up and slipped out in the early hours of the day. And I went out and I got in my car and I sat in front of General Hospital. And I just sat there and held my head and wept and cried in that parking lot. And finally I said, all right, God, I'm going to do it. But I'm going to trust you, God. When I get up there, don't leave me without doing something. I'm human. I said, I'm human. So I went to the hospital. I went up the third floor, room 318. I knocked on the door. His little nurse came to the door and said, yes. I said, I'm Pastor Harper from Riverside. I wanted to step in and have prayer for the doctor. Oh, just take a moment, please. We've had too many preachers come by. I said, I was afraid of that. But I feel like I've got to pray and I won't disturb him. All right? And let me tell you something, folks. Some Pentecostals have really embarrassed me, and I think they've embarrassed God too. By going into a place that doesn't know anything about God, and the first utterance of prayer they've ever had, they act slap like a fool. In the midst of winning souls, it says, he that winneth souls is wise. Some folks don't know what wise means. They've never had one drop of wisdom. If they'd gotten 100 yards of them, it'd scare them to death. Hello?
Yes, sir. You're doing all right.
And so I walked in and I stepped to his bedside and I gently and courteously touched his forehead and prayed this prayer in Jesus Christ. I ask that this doctor's body be made well. Amen. And I turned around and nodded to the nurse and walked out. I came back the next morning. And this man had done surgery on me. And he knew me. When I stepped to the door the next morning, knocked on the door, the nurse came and I said, may I see the doctor again? And he heard my voice. And the morning before, he was unconscious. But he heard my voice and he said, tell Pastor Harper to come in. And I walked in and looked down at a man who was shaking in the bed. And I said, I prayed for you yesterday morning. He said, I know, the nurse told me. And said, I love God. And I knew he loved God. He is a Filipino, but he loves God. And I said, doctor, I've been healed. I witnessed to him of my healing. I said, before I go, I want to pray for you again. He said, please do. And his speech was broken. He was not talking clear at all. I don't want you to get the impression that he was miraculously made well. But I laid my hand on him and I prayed again. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I ask you to make the doctor's body whole. I'd already done praying out there. The prayer I was doing right then was for the doctor's sake. It was for his sake. I'd done my praying outside. And I left and I came back the next morning. And when I came back the next morning and I came and I tapped on the door, the doctor stepped out to the door and extended the paralyzed hand. He said, let me shake your hand, Pastor. Your God is healing me. Praise God. Praise God! And so I went back to visit him again. And I got to be there the day that he left the hospital walking. They had brought him in a stretcher. My wife and I met him downtown. And we saw him and he raised his hand and he said, hello, Pastor. He'll meet people on the street and he passes out Bibles and he'll tell them that Pastor Harper from Riverside came and prayed for me. Some of the folks, men in my church, was just treated by him the other day. He was there and they mentioned to him about it. He said, I'm still going to come to that church because there's something at that church and I like your pastor. He prayed for me. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We've got an apostolic experience. We've got an apostolic touch from God. You don't have to be no specialist. Hey, this is Robert's country, isn't it? Huh? At least that's where they advertise him from. From Oklahoma. From Oral Roberts University. Well, bless your heart, I'm going to tell you what. Every saint of God in here that's baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, you've got a touch with God in your life that makes you ever bit as able to lay your hands on a sick body and pray for them and them get well. Because the Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe, them that believe, them that believe, them that believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. Well, there's a lot of other things I could tell you. A lot of other things I could tell you. But we're going to go on. I said the demonstration of the Spirit says this thing is from God. But I said there was one more thing that said it, and that was the testimony of the believer. Now, Conkers, I'm going to ask you to help me. I'm going to ask you to preach for me, all right? And I'm going to ask this whole audience to respond with them to these questions. Because I'm going to preach the last part of my sermon with your testimony. The Bible says it's real. The demonstration of the Spirit says it's real. And the testimony of the believer says it's real. Why don't we all just stand together? Come on. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Praise God. Now here, I want you to preach with me. How many of you have always wanted to preach at camp meeting? Huh? Wanted to preach. Wanted to have something to do. And I'm going to let you preach right now. I want to know how many of you in this building's ever spoken tongues. That's preaching. Praise God. That's preaching. Hallelujah. I want to know something else now. How many of you in this building have ever been prayed for and God healed your body? Woo! Hallelujah! I want to know something else. I want to know how many of you are feeling what I'm a-feeling. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you think it's from God? How many of you believe it's from God? Oh, hallelujah! Woo! It's real, it's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal blessing, and I know. Oh, it's real, it's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal blessing, and I know when first I heard of Pentecost, well, I thought it was a shame that such unholy teacher should be taught in Jesus' name. Well, they said it was in the Bible, so I did not want to doubt. Went into that meeting just to hear them sing and shout, oh, it's real. Woo! Glory. Ilababataya. It's real. I know. Glory. Well, some were shouting hallelujah. Some were prostrate on the floor. Well, they were dancing in the Spirit from the pulpit back to the door. Some were shaking, some were quaking, and one by one they fell. Well, they went into the Spirit. Lord, I thought they were having a spell. But it's real. It's real. Woo! Oh, glory! It's real. fulfill this Pentecostal blessing. Will I stay just a little longer, wondering what my folks would say? For I knew they did not like them of this Pentecostal way. For just a day or two before, I heard my daddy say, "Son, when I got religion, well, I sure didn't act that way. Oh, but it's real, it's real, I know." Hallelujah! It's real! I know it's real, this Pentecostal blessing. Oh, yes, it's real! It's real! Hallelujah! Yes, I know. Hallelujah. Well, I started for the altar with the hunger in my soul. Well, I did not care who saw me, or the Spirit made me go. Well, I raised both hands toward heaven, and I let God have his way. Oh, praise the Lord, he filled me in that. Ulababatoshanda, carry a lababakota, elaliababatoshanda. Woo! Also blessed, and I know.